Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It's a Friday, thank the Lord. What a, I think it's been a good week. It's been beautiful outside, a little bit hot, high temperatures, and we have special guests today. All of us have been dealing with COVID-19 in various ways, and we have a special sensitivity to a lot of business people around our state, which are essential to get them up and running again. So our guests today are Matt Walsh. He is a business consultant and coach, and one of his clients and a good friend of mine, Brian Pletta, owner of Stone Age Climbing Gym. Gentlemen, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, I appreciate you being here very much. I want to start with Matt. Matt, you are businesses are beginning the process of opening up. What are the positive lessons that we should learn starting up again after the shutdown? Are there some specific things that you want business people to keep in mind?
Well, okay, so first, let me tweak what you said just a little bit.
Okay.
There's the essential, what was classified as the essential businesses, and then non-essentials. So there were some businesses that never shut down. Mm. So they continued on, but not in kind of a regular way. They had to make little tweaks or adjustments to how they did business. Then there were a variety of businesses that were kind of not totally closed, like let's say a fast food restaurant. Mm-hmm. The interior was closed, but the outside. So they had kind of a hybrid situation. And then there were some, like Brian's, that was completely shut down. Mm-hmm. And so you had kind of this whole thing. And so now you have, and I think what you're talking about is the restaurants and gyms and the dining restaurants, those are the ones that are coming back. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that we need to go spend some money with. If you like your small business restaurant or gym, then you need to get out there and go spend some money with them. So the thing that I want to keep them in mind of is keep people safe. People are safe out there. Keep them relaxed. I've been in the restaurants that I've been into lately that are just now coming back open. They are so grateful to have their customers back, which is an awesome thing. You got to watch cash flow. Mm-hmm. And that would probably be the single biggest advice that I have is cash flow. And you have some other questions maybe if we get to about how you can get some money from the government to support your efforts in the cash flow. But to me, that's the biggest thing is cash flow.
Well, let's talk, let our listeners know a little bit about you. Matt Walsh is a business consultant. He helps business people by putting them together with other entrepreneurs, and that includes Brian Pletta. You have board meetings once a month. You've probably been doing Zoom meetings.
We have
other
done
kinds
that.
Of things.
Yeah.
So you have those once a month, and in those meetings, business people are able to share their individual challenges and expertise with each other.
That's right.
And I'm sure, like in most situations,
and there's been a lot of challenges going on.
That's an understatement of the year, right? So you also provide regular coaching to your clients so they
right.
have a fresh perspective, expertise, and support.
That's right.
And Matt, I would say, based on what we've been going through, that what you do is not really just an extra. It's almost essential because people really need this kind of feedback.
I agree. And I'll tell you, when we got into this crisis, and nobody was prepared for this. Brian wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared. The businesses that I was talking to were unprepared. It was really a very emotional, angst-filled experience starting in February when we were learning about coronavirus, when we had heard that China was shut down and then Italy was shut down and was coming our way. And so the emotional aspect of this has been very difficult. For people. And I've felt that. I mean, you really feel that. And so I've poured out my heart to try to help people as best I know how in this with the uncertainty that it brings. Mm-hmm. I mean, business is always uncertain because the future you never know, mm-hmm. unless you're a prophet, but you never know. And this then just accentuated that because even though we don't know the future, we mm-hmm. think we kind of know, or at least we know the direction. And what this really proved is we don't. And that's what this was a big jog on, and what I've had to just personally experience is that emotional impact.
Let me tell listeners a little bit about Brian Pletta, who's in studio with us as well. Brian and his wife, Christina, are business partners with the Stone Age Climbing Gym in Albuquerque. And
Brian, we've had you on the program before, and what Stone Age does and provides for families is amazing. You even told us last time, we're going to ask you again, about the sport itself. It's actually was scheduled to be part of an Olympics competition this year. So, Brian, tell us first, when you work with Matt, how has Matt come alongside you and helped you and encouraged you through all of this? Because your business has been shut down since what, when?
Well, we shut down on March 17th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just want to comment a little bit about Matt talking about the anxiety associated with that early on. I will tell you, I really felt that. We were seeing gyms across the country shutting down in certain areas that were maybe a little bit harder hit than we were. First off, you know, starting in Seattle, those gyms were shutting down. We were getting a lot of pressure from our customers to shut down. Not from everybody, of course, but there were certainly a few vocal customers that were really making some noise about us shutting down. Meanwhile, everything else is open, and I'm trying to decide, hey, maybe it would be a good thing for us to shut down, but if I shut down in isolation, it really is going to do no good to stop this virus. And all it's going to do is just kill my business a little faster and a little quicker. So trying to make that decision of when to shut down was really tough. And we finally decided, my wife and I decided on the 15th, on a Sunday night, I think we're going to need to shut down. We had a meeting with our staff on the 16th and said, hey, we're going to make an announcement that we're going to shut down tomorrow on the 17th, which we did. And then the governor made an announcement on the 17th that we would have to close. So, you know, so, well, I mean, we shut down just prior to being forced to shut down. So I think our timing was good, you know, it was appropriate, but yeah, that making that decision was just super hard of, you know, when do you shut down? Is this really something that we have to do and when?
Brian, you've been very successful. I mean, your first gym over on Cutler off of the freeway, off I-40, has just been spectacular. You've had all kinds of competitions you've brought in. You have people from around the country coming into some of those. You video stream a lot of that stuff. And it's been really a neat community that you've built in the climbing community. So people that were used to going outside and just climbing by themselves have all become really a big family that you've kind of put together. And you do the workout is just unbelievable. I mean, I tried to spend 15 minutes on a boulder and never have had so much work in my life. And I'm used to running up and down a basketball court. I mean, it's pretty tough to hold up your body weight on a wall. And I've not attained a fitness level as a climber at all, but boy,
that's why it's so hard for you, Jim.
That's right.
You got to get in there more.
It's totally different than running up and down the basketball court.
But I do want to say it's absolutely, you know, I went over a period back in October. I went to the gym probably six times in 2 months. And I had been having some tightness in my shoulders and things. But just the few times that I went completely stretched me out. I've done a lot of bicep and tricep work with weights. I have to tell you that climbing stretches you out and maybe even does a better job of creating strength. And I'm 62 years old, so I'm really looking forward to your new gym opening up here at Alameda in San Pedro. Brian, I want, before we go get into all of that and the things that you're planning, when you tell us that you shut down and how hard it was, I imagine that you probably have a bank involved with the financing of your new building. It had to be really a bit, you have a lot of employees. You have a lot of financial responsibility. So I imagine that pressure was just amazing.
Yeah, it really was, Jim. And I really feel an obligation to all of our employees, and we actually did keep everybody employed during the closure.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it was difficult for us, but we reached out to our membership base, and we have a very close-knit and supportive community. So we reached out to our members and said, hey, we would, you know, we're intending to keep our employees on the payroll during this closure, but in order to do that, we need your help. And we asked for those that were able, financially able, to continue their membership during the closure to please do so. And they really responded and supported us during that time. So I really want to thank all of our members that stepped up to the plate and helped us to pay for our employees, you know, during that time.
That is a super cool story. Super cool story. Matt, you're coaching Brian. He's got stress. He's announced that to his employees and to his wife and everyone, sure, it's time to shut it down. The governor comes out, and I'm not sure that was a calming thing, because once the government kind of takes over, I don't know about you guys, but I get nervous about when we get to reopen and right, what the, for some reason, and I think this is how everyone feels across the country, is once the government gets involved, we feel encroached upon. Although I don't think anything at the time everything was shut down was ill-intended. But obviously you're going to get – it's kind of like being an official in a basketball game. Half the people hate you whenever you make a decision.
Right.
And that's an oversimplification. But I think anybody in leadership – I know this has been true with the church leaders. We had a gentleman on the air in California that is a Calvary pastor. His name is Jack Hibbs, and the week before the third week of May, he basically got together with several hundred churches in California, and they announced May 31st, we're opening without permission.
Wow.
That was their commitment. Now, they weren't doing things silly.
Sure.
They were maintaining social distancing. They were setting up their sanctuary so people could be spread apart. They didn't expect, you know, 10,000 people to come to services. They expected maybe a couple hundred, but they have these big facilities and they wanted to start getting people back in front, and they felt like they were going to do it in a safe way. We had Buck Buckner, Rain Tunnel Car Spas here in Albuquerque, and he couldn't figure out why, after submitting a number of plans to the governor's office about how they could wash your car safely without transmitting COVID, that he wasn't even responded to. So again, knowing criticism's intended, but there's always opposition anytime you make a decision. So, Matt, mm-hmm, how do you come alongside a guy with, you know, advising him and supporting him when there is no precedent for how you're going to advise them?
Well, you know, first I think you reach out and just ask, how are you? How are you doing? Brian, how are you doing? Knowing the pressure in all of the business owners that I work with, the pressure that they're under, and the uncertainty. I mean, you're talking about the governor and the government coming out and all the uncertainties they're facing as well, mm-hmm, and having to make decisions. And they probably do go overboard to one extreme in terms of, well, just shut as much as we can down because we want to save lives or at least bend the curve. And then business owners get subjected to, what does that mean for me? And the biggest thing and the first thing you do is just find out where somebody is at. How are you doing coping with all of this? And then you get into the practical things, and you brought up cash flow, cash, monetary is always a very important thing. What I liken it to is cash to a business is like gasoline to a car. You're not going to get very far if you don't have any. And so the first thing I wanted to be sure that everybody that I was coaching was in a very good cash position in all of the programs that the government was offering that they might be able to participate in, mm-hmm, and to be able to secure that. Now, Brian is coming from a heart for his people, for the staff, and for his community. One of the things that I've learned about Brian in climbing is it's all about community. As much as there's the church community, there's the climbing community, and he is really all about that, and that's to his heart and to his credit. And so for him, he's making decisions on what's in the best interest of that community. The community at large, of course, but in particular, the climbing community, because that's the one that he oversees. And that isn't about the dollars and cents as much as I've described, because as an advisor, business advisor to him, I'm worried for him about that. And about talking to the bank and getting extra terms on the buildings that he has or any of the borrowings that he does, raising additional capital. And he looks at it as in terms of the community and how is the community going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And not whether it's making him money or not making him money, but can he retain his staff and how can he retain his staff and how can he talk to his members and those who can afford it to be and continue to participate. Because that's what's important to Brian on it. And I'm not saying it's not important to every business owner. Of course it is. But there are different things and there are different nuances to every business owner and their business. And that's how much care and concern a business owner like Brian has for their people. Not only, when I say their people, the community at large, the community that they're within, and the staff that serve that community. And that's an awesome thing. And so for me, mine is, my community is the business owners that I serve, the people that I help, and how are they, and what, and how is it working for them, and what, and having sensitivities of the things that are important to them. Because a lot of people, you know, we can give a lot of credit to all of the first responders and everything else. And I've said this before, and I think I said it before on your show. He's a first responder. His business is a first responder. He's keeping this community safe and healthy out there and having to deal with all of the extra, processes and costs that come along with that. And you have to admire every shake. Well, I say shake their hand, give them a hug. But it's COVID-19. We're trying to keep our distance. But when the time comes and you can shake hands and you can give them a hug, you need to do that. Because they really are doing some amazing things out there for our community.
Business consultant Matt Walsh and Brian Pletta, co-owner of the Stone Age Climbing Gym and Studio, with us. We're going to say thank you to our sponsors. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Brian about Stone Age Climbing Gym opening up for business. We'll be right back.
The power of your thoughts. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. Coach Vince Lombardi once said, "Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can." You know, your thoughts will set the trajectory of your life toward a life that revolves around you and what you determine to be your purposes, or to thoughts that revolve around God and who and what He has created you to be. What do you think about the statement that God has a plan for your life? Have you ever wondered what it is? Do you think that the Creator of the universe uniquely gifted you to do something extraordinary with your life? I do. Ephesians 2:10 teaches us that we've been made as a masterpiece of God who saved us for the purpose of doing good works that will bring Him glory. You know, Proverbs 23:7 in the King James says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So what do you think of?
Roger's devotional, A Minute of Vision for Men, is available for pre-order at visionforlife.org.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave His only begotten Son that you would believe in Him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
We all can, to some degree, think of something that was cruelly taken from our hands. And maybe it was not a Mexican beach vacation. Maybe it was someone you love. Maybe to the COVID-19 virus, or maybe to something else. But you know the feeling of joylessness that's come because of something that was taken from you and snatched from you. In that situation, Paul says, when you don't feel joyful, the key is gratitude. The key is to, in everything. He doesn't say for everything, give thanks, but in everything. For we deal with things that are not good and we're not to be thankful for, but in those things we can choose to be grateful, to show gratitude. And that gratitude will help us to tap into our joy. Paul, as he give thanks, is modeling for us. You go, how, Paul, do you have a thank you note full of joy? It's because he was writing a thank you note.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Business consultant Matt Walsh in studio with us this afternoon with one of his friends and clients, Brian Pletta, owner of Stone Age Climbing Gym. And Brian, we want to get to, Matt just made some comments about some ways that he tried to come alongside you and encourage you. And we've talking off air about how anxious you were about shutting down your business. Now you're coming back. Tell us about the plans. I know they have to be fluid because we don't know with certainty when everything is happening, but Stone Age Climbing Gym is getting ready to reopen.
Yeah, we opened to our existing members on Monday. So June 1st, gyms were allowed to open. We've decided to take things a little bit slow this first week and just dial in our processes, make sure that, you know, we've got social distancing down and that people feel comfortable to come back. So we opened to our members that kept their membership going during the closure as a thank you to them. And then also just as a way for us to just have kind of a slow, measured start to make sure that our employees understood our new processes, how everything was going to go. We're going to be opening to new members on Monday, the 8th. So any member who froze their membership during the closure is going to be able to restart their membership at that time. And then we're also going to be inviting new members to come in and join the club starting next Monday. At this point, we're not going to be serving day pass users. They just require a little bit more close interaction and instruction from our staff. And so we don't really feel like we're quite ready for that yet. So that will be a few weeks down the road. But we're starting with members. The response so far has been great amongst our existing members. They're really appreciative that we are back and that they can come back in the gym and do their routine, their workout routine and see their friends from a distance.
Brian, I don't know you real well, but I've known you now for 3 or 4 years, and I get the impression that you're a person that needs to be in the gym. You're a person that needs to be outdoors. You're a person that needs to be doing, experiencing nature and the beauty of this world that God has created. Have you literally been climbing the walls, having to stay at home and doing things like that?
No pun.
Yes and no. We have stayed out of public venues, but my wife and I live in Cedar Crest, and our house backs up against open space. And so we have been walking, hiking every day.
Good.
We've been getting outside. Of course, it's a little bit, there's just not a whole lot of people back there. So, we felt pretty good and fairly isolated, but we have been getting out and getting exercise on a daily basis, getting out, walking the dogs. I have not been climbing outside since the closure, partially because I've been actually super busy this whole time that the gym has been closed. We're trying to build a new gym. I'm trying to figure out all the regulations that we have to abide by. I'm trying to figure out how to raise some cash so that we don't go broke, as Matt mentioned, watching cash flow. And so for me, it's actually been more work than being open.
Matt, last time you were on the program, you walked us through, you have a website, the Red Button website.
Redbuttonreport.com.
Yep. And that was very useful tool for a lot of people to go in and find out what programs were available, what stimulus money,
how
to apply for those. Is there any more money available now?
Okay, so there were two kind of primary ways of getting a hold of money from the government. The state had one, but from the federal government. One is called the PPP program, Paycheck Protection Program. The government likes all these acronyms, and that was through the SBA. That is still available. There is still money as we speak today. They also passed, and Trump just signed today, a tweak to that program. So the way that it existed and the way that it is now, they kind of relaxed some of the standards, so that's a good thing. So if you haven't applied and you need some cash available, the Paycheck Protection Program, you would go through an SBA-approved lender. And so it may be your local bank, or there's some different banks around our community that could do that. Mm-hmm. And they do reach limits. And then there's the EIDL. That's another SBA program. I don't know. They have not been taking new applicants. That existed right at the end of March to the beginning of April. That was such in demand that they ended up I think, shutting that off of any new applicants. Okay. I don't know if they've reopened that or not. And there was two ways for them to get you money. One was a $10,000 forgivable grant up to $10,000, and that was $1,000 per employee that you have on staff. If you had five employees, then you could get $5,000, and that's if you applied for this. Then after that, having a loan available up to $150,000, it depended on where your business was in terms of what the offer might be. Mm-hmm. And it's on a sliding scale. You have to, you go in there and they contact you. And this stuff kind of happens by mystery, I got to tell you, Jim. I'm talking to the members. They go, you know, I applied for this thing a month ago, 2 months ago. And then lo and behold, one day I see $10,000 transferred in my account. Wow. Imagine that. Yeah. Or some number, amount of money. And the loan is very much very similar to that, and it's called the EIDL. And I think both of those, though, are now no longer taking new applications at the moment.
And, Matt, I understand through both programs that you will have to provide some documentation to the SBA or to the government showing that you used, I understand in the PPP program, about 75% of it has to be spent on salaries.
What you're talking about is the forgivable portion of it. Mm. So there's one is the application and applying for the money. Then there's also another application or guidance they have for the forgivable portion of it. And you're exactly right, 75% for payroll. However, the tweak that President Trump just signed, it lowers that standard to 60%. Uh-huh. But it's an all or nothing thing now. If you don't, and it lengthens the time. It was 8 weeks. Now it goes out 24 weeks. Okay, and then it was going to be, if you didn't use all of the money, the rest of the money that you didn't use would be converted into a note that you'd have to pay back, and that was over 2 years. Now it's up to 5 years. So they've tweaked it a little bit, and those are just some of the highlights in the tweak that President Trump signed just this morning. Mm. And so I'm not familiar with all of the aspects yet, but I will get myself up to speed because it's brand new.
How do our listeners get in touch with you, Matt, to ask you questions about this and possibly use your
services? My email is mwalsh@tabalbuquerque.com. That's really the best way to get reach out and get in touch with me is just use my email again, mwalsh@tabalbuquerque.com.
Tabalbuquerque.com.
Yeah.
Brian, you've been working with Matt a long time. So you described the anxiety you had back in March to shut down your business. You're still attending, even though they be virtual meetings. What are all the other board members telling you? Are they kind of experiencing the same thing you were going through?
You know, I think everybody is going through their own little version of this. Yeah. There are a lot of similar themes, but then everybody's situation is different. Mm-hmm. We have board members that strictly sell online, so they were never shut down. Mm. We have board members that have retail establishments. We have, you know, myself, I mean, we have a gym, so if people aren't coming in the door, there's not a whole lot we can do. We did put some fitness classes online and stream them live for people that, you know, to be able to log in and kind of stay connected to our community. So we've had to think outside of the box, but everybody's a little bit different. But as Matt said, the cash flow aspect of it, I think, is very consistent. Every business owner that I know of has to worry about running out of money because as soon as your bank account goes below zero, you're out of business.
That's right. So you can't get there.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel like there's some resources available to you, Brian, for helping you with that? Or have you had to is this a situation where you end up leveraging everything that you have and stay in it? How does that work?
No, there have been some resources. A couple of things. We did get a PPP loan, so that was really fortunate that we were able to get that, and we're hoping that all or most of that will be forgiven. Mm-hmm. That'll help with our payroll and rent expenses while we were closed, for sure. And our local lender, New Mexico Bank and Trust, has been very supportive during this time in helping us get that PPP loan. We also have a couple of loans with them through the SBA 504 program. The SBA has some other programs where they have some loan forgiveness on the SBA side of that loan. The 504 program is kind of a half SBA, half bank loan. And our local bank has deferred some principal payments on that loan, that we're paying interest only on their part of those loans currently. So, you know, we've had a lot of help with them. So that helps stretch out some of that cash a little bit. And right now, you know, we open this week, which is great, but it doesn't mean that all of our revenue is back. And so I'm really concerned about the next year. I think the next year is going to be really slow because people are a little bit scared to go out in public. They're scared to go to the gym. They're scared to go to restaurants. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time for people to be comfortable to be out in public again.
Well, you're taking some what I would call extraordinary precautions, though. Tell us a little bit about your plan and how you're going to try to keep people safe.
Well, first off, so the governor announced that gyms could open with 50% of their occupancy. We're starting off at about 20%, so we're starting off very, you know, very slow in that regard. And what we did was, the climbing gym is, you know, laid out with walls all around the gym, and you can really kind of divide the wall into sections and say, all right, well, we can have a climber here and we can have a climber here. And we did that. We went around the gym and we just counted up all the zones where we could possibly have people. And we felt like, you know, that looks like about 100 people. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting with 80 because we wanted to give ourselves a little room. And to be honest with you, this week we've had 80 people in the gym maybe twice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been pretty slow.
Sure.
But, you know, so we actually identified where people would be and counted up the spots, and we made some markings on the floor. So we have 12 foot wide climbing zones, and we're saying you can have two people in each zone, because generally if you're using a rope system, you need a climber and a belayer. So that's two people for every 12 feet. Of course, those two people are hopefully closely connected, either family members or close friends. So, you know, they're going to be comfortable being close to each other. We're also requiring people to wear masks in the facility unless they're actively exercising. So if they're walking around the gym or if they're belaying on the floor, not actively exercising, we're asking them to wear masks, and we're getting good compliance with that. If you are on the wall and actively climbing, wearing a mask while exercising is difficult. And so we're allowing people to pull their mask down for, you know, for that period of time. We've closed our water fountain. We've closed our locker rooms. Those places where people gather.
And it's really going to be hard to keep those areas really, really clean.
I guess so, yeah, but, you know, we are cleaning a lot. Mm-hmm. We're cleaning a lot. I mean, our employees, if they're not doing something else, they're cleaning.
Yes.
And, you know, we do a thorough cleaning overnight, and then our desk staff who is there during the day, if they're not actively engaged with a customer, they're walking around with a disinfectant and a rag, and they're wiping down high-touch surfaces. So.
Yeah. We are visiting this afternoon with business coach and consultant Matt Walsh and the owner of Stone Age Climbing Gym, Brian Pletta. We'll be back right after these messages. Stay with us.
Calvary College is now open for registration. Calvary College is offering select online classes as an opportunity for individuals to take their life's calling to a whole new level with an educational emphasis in biblical studies. With our unique partnerships with Veritas International University and Calvary Chapel University, you will have the opportunity to obtain your bachelor's or master's degree with complete online programs. Whether you're looking to obtain an accredited online degree or take individual courses to become better equipped in your knowledge of God's unchangeable truth, Calvary College has you covered with a range of opportunities. On-site classes are scheduled to begin in 2021. For updates on classes and registration information for Calvary College, please visit calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college. For Calvary College, calvaryabq.college.
Hey, New Mexico. The spring and summer months are hard on your car, and that's why Power Ford makes it easy for you to take care of it. From routine maintenance to vehicle checkups, our quality service costs less than most of the places that promise to get you done quick or in a jiffy. Allow the experts at Power Ford to help you take care of your car. We'll also include a sanitation and disinfectant treatment. All makes, all models, and you never need an appointment. If you're looking for a better deal and a better experience, come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible, verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian and Christina Pletta are the owners of Stone Age Climbing Gym. Brian, one half of that combination in studio with us this afternoon, and business consultant Matt Walsh. Gentlemen, I consider both of you to be my friends, and I'm sitting here just seeing Brian's heart as he's talking about it's been a challenge. It's been difficult. It's, you know, he cares so much about the people that work for him. Matt, what is essential for us to come back in New Mexico and survive all of this?
Spend money. That is, you know, our economy was never set up to shut down, and that's exactly what we did. So let's back up just a little bit on, so we were all dealing with the fears and anxieties as a community, as business owners, with the shutdown and what that would bring. So now here we are at a place of getting back reopen, but with the unknowns of exactly what that means and what am I to do? How do I create a safe place? My business, or let's say Brian's business, is Stone Age Climbing Gym. He knows climbing and the climbing community and climbing gym. And yet, with understandable restrictions that are put on that with social distancing, wearing a mask, sanitation, health concerns, and all that, that they are doing the very best they possibly can, that's not a business that they're in. I mean, that's something that now, and when you think about it, now go into a restaurant, any restaurant, that a dine-in restaurant, go in there, and you'll notice a lot of stark changes. Mm-hmm. And you can't help yourself. You got to get an extra glass when you want to refill, all these things. All of that costs money. And now we're creating an additional layer of cost for business. And I haven't seen people's prices increase to reflect that additional cost. And I know it's only a matter of time if we continue doing this, and we need innovations to take care of this, or we need the governor to come out and have some more empathy that, you know, let's relax this a little bit. We're doing great, and, you know, we'll do that. Now, I'm not saying that she should say that because she has more information than I do. But if we don't, it's only a matter of time. If revenues are down and costs are up, that doesn't work for any business, which won't work for New Mexico. It won't work for the state at the state level, the county level, the city level, or any government level, because the tax revenue that they get goes way down. And so the thing that there's a principle out there called the velocity of money. And what the velocity of money is just says is, if we're just a little community here and I spend a dollar with you, Jim, and then you go spend a dollar with Brian, and Brian comes back and spends a dollar with me, that's the velocity of money. But if we stop that and you hold on to your money, I hold on to mine, and Brian holds on to his, we don't have a community anymore, and we don't have business anymore. We're not transacting anything. And the government's in there to just take their little piece every time that happens. So we need to, and the essential thing is, get out and start spending some money. Now, I can't promise anybody, you hear me on the radio, that you won't get sick or you won't come down with something or whatever it might be, but we've lived through a lot of things in the past, this country and as people. we'll live through this. I expect, let me speak for myself. I go boldly forward. I do not believe in my heart of hearts that anything negative will happen to me. That's how I go about things. And I know everybody's different, but I'm going about to spend money with local merchants because that's what we need. That's what's essential. We got to get back to doing business. Now, I know business is done differently. Brian mentioned earlier that he's doing some online stuff. I have other business owners doing online things, and that's great. But that doesn't, that's not the end all be all for his business. You won't experience climbing unless you go in and actually experience it. Go experience it. And you might become a real fan of it and then join the gym.
You bet. Brian, I want to point out the name of your website is climbstoneage.com, and you have an online store, which might be a silver lining.
No, yeah, that's right, Jim. One of the things before the shutdown, we did have an online store, and we had a few branded Stone Age items on the store. You know, we sold some T-shirts and some coffee cups, stuff like that. But when we shut down, we were trying to find ways to generate revenue and find ways to keep our people busy. So we undertook an effort to move all of our retail, you know, brick-and-mortar store online. My wife, Christina, really led that effort and was instrumental in making that happen. And, you know, it provided work for a couple of my guys for a couple of months. And it generated enough revenue to pay for their salary for a couple of months. We had a bunch of stuff sitting on the shelf that we turned into cash. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, a little silver lining there. You know, it's something that we have going forward. So the online store is still there. All of our rock climbing equipment and clothing and accessories and everything that we have in our store are still available online. So if people choose to shop via the internet, they can do that, and they can still shop local.
I know we can't talk about all the competitions and things that you've done in the past. Those have been a lot of fun to watch. I know you do things for youth. Some of those things are on hold. But I want to talk about it because I think it's coming back. And I want to talk about the sport, Brian. Tell us about what do most people not know about the sport of climbing?
Well, you know, climbing has been around a long time. Of course, it originated with people trying to get to the top of mountains. Mm-hmm. And over the time, it's kind of evolved into some different subsets. There's, you know, today, kind of the competitive aspect of climbing. There's sport climbing, where you're using a rope for protection. You're climbing on taller walls. There's bouldering, which is climbing without ropes, low to the ground over a padded floor. And then there's also speed climbing, which is climbing kind of a set, standardized route as fast as you can. And those three disciplines are supposed to be part of the next Olympics. It was scheduled for this summer in Tokyo. That, of course, has been put off until 2021, but it is an Olympic sport now. There's also a big youth aspect of the sport that you were, you know, mentioning earlier, and we've got a climbing team at our gym. Mojo is the name of the team, and you know, it's kids from the ages of approximately 8 to 18 are involved in that program. They compete nationally with USA Climbing. We were set to host division championships here in Albuquerque in June, and of course that got pushed back, and their whole season got canceled this year. But we do expect it to come back next year. We're hoping to start our climbing team practice back this summer. We're not exactly sure when we're going to start that, but maybe later this month or early July. There are definitely some restrictions placed on us with managing youth programs that are, you know, placed on us by the state, that we just need to figure out how we're going to run the program, because we didn't used to run it like that.
Yeah.
We have to have a 1-to-5 coach ratio. We have to keep groups of 5 kids separate from each other, assign a coach to them. You know, it was a more collaborative thing where we had 20 kids and 3 coaches, and now it's going to have to be more separate. So it definitely kind of alters the dynamic a bit. Yeah.
So Olympic sport, how about getting becoming part of the New Mexico Activities Association, Brian? You envisioning high schools competing and using your gyms as the venue?
I would love to see that someday. So far, I haven't seen a lot of support for it locally here in New Mexico. We do have a couple of private schools that have regular programs with us that come in the gym, and, you know, use climbing as part of their programs. But, you know, as far as like APS and the public schools, haven't had a whole lot of buy-in on that. A lot of the public schools do have climbing walls in their school, especially some of the middle schools. But they really lack the people with the expertise to run it. You know, they've got their gym teacher running the climbing wall, and their gym teacher is not a climber, and so they don't really understand it. And so I would love to have the public schools find teachers that are climbers to run those programs and really, you know, take advantage of what they have. But so far it's pretty tough, I think, on the school level.
Brian, I want to share with you a short story before we take our last break. I was in your gym, and I was watching a man and his wife and a child that was about 5 years old. This was about a year and a half ago. And I was watching them climb in what you call the north room, where most of the kids are hanging out. And I watched this little five-year-old just shoot up a wall. I mean, literally fly up it, like, barely touching any of the holds or anything. And just, you know, his mom and dad were just laughing because he went so quickly up the wall. And then he got on top of the area in the middle and was standing there right on the edge. Now, I have five children, and my children were all very coordinated. But frankly, we did do some birthday parties at Stone Age, but, you know, it was few and far between when we had a chance to climb, and they always had a blast. They weren't as familiar with it as this little five-year-old. And I'm watching this young man stand on the edge of this thing, and his parents are just frankly not really that concerned. And I'm thinking, I got to go ease over here a little bit because I think this guy's going to fall off the wall. Well, all of a sudden, he just literally bends down, grabs hold of one of the handholds. I don't know how else to voice it.
Yeah, handhold.
And he swings down like a monkey, and doesn't even use his feet and just goes all the way down the wall with his hands. And I'm thinking to myself, I think I'm going to have a heart attack because he was so comfortable and so strong. The strength that this little boy had was just off the chart. So I like to talk about this because I know it's going to come back and I know it's going to be an amazing thing. Here's the question I have for you. We have a South gym now over off of Cutler. What's the address of that gym?
That's 4130 Cutler Avenue, and we call that our Midtown Gym.
Okay, that's the Midtown Gym. And now what are you calling the new gym?
The new gym, we're calling our North Gym, Stone Age Climbing Gym North, and that's Alameda and San Pedro.
All I can envision is there's going to be the North Gym guys and the Midtown guys, and there's going to be some competition brewing between the two. Do you see that?
It could. Initially, our competitive team, we're going to actually keep them together and move them back and forth between the facilities so that number one, so that they can train on more terrain, right? So they have different climbing walls in different locations. So it gives them a little bit broader training experience. It also, gives a little bit of a break to our members that our youth programs are moving back and forth. So they might know that, hey, the youth climbing team is going to be here on Wednesdays, but they're going to be at the other gym on Thursdays. So maybe I'm going to climb on Thursday.
I like
you know,
that.
So, so that's our intent right now. We are going to probably grow our feeder programs, our recreational based, climbing programs to that feed into that competitive team. But,
I've got all these visions for you, Brian. You're going to have the New Mexico Activities Association, and you're going to have all the high schools in town training.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, I think it'd be exciting. We're going to be right back. Matt Walsh, business consultant, and Brian Pletta, co-owner of the Stone Age Climbing Gym. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
Number, please.
Hello?
In the new movie, The Vast of Night, now streaming online, we're transported back to the 1950s.
In Cayuga, New Mexico, 16-year-old Faye Crocker works the late shift as a telephone switchboard operator. When she hears a mysterious sound through her headset, she calls Everett Sloan, a teen DJ at the local radio station. Kay, Everett, and a radio listener with a spooky theory seek to understand what they're hearing. The result? A slow-burning UFO thriller. Some profanity and teen smoking earned this flick its PG-13 rating, so we're giving The Vast of Night a 3 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It is a Friday afternoon. I hope everybody had a great week. It's a tough time to live in this world. 2020 has been a challenging year. But I think the word stress kind of summarizes what everybody is feeling. I know moms that have had to take care of their kids 24/7 and not have a break when they go to school, and they're raising kids, they're teaching kids. Administrators of schools, I know my kids all went to Hope Christian School, and it seems like they didn't skip a beat immediately going to some online stuff, but I know the Albuquerque Public Schools were challenged a little bit, and in some ways by the law, because they weren't allowed to provide technology resources to kids that didn't have access to technology, so they couldn't provide it to anybody. There was all kinds of challenges, but stress seems to be the operant word. Matt, how do business owners, how can they relieve stress? I know you're a person of faith, so that's probably one way.
Sure. That is one way for sure. Another way is cash. I mean, when you're dealing with a business owner, I say that and not in jest. A business exists for the, I shouldn't say exists. A business must make a profit in order to be a business. And so having that on hand certainly can
help
alleviate
the stress.
By the
way, Matt, that's true for nonprofit organizations,
which
we have a lot of them. We have a lot of charitable organizations.
Definitely.
And even though the money doesn't belong to an individual, they need to bring in more money than they spend.
That's right. That's exactly right. But aside from that, on a personal level, which is really what you're getting at, I think the biggest thing that I've noticed that I try to work with business owners on is this has been a massive disruption in routine for all of us. Mm-hmm. So let's say, as a man of faith, going to church. Well, you can't go to church. Not church like you used to go to church. So now you're watching it online. There's a stress with not being able to do something that you have been comfortable and used to doing. I can't go to the gym anymore. I can't go to Brian's gym. Let's say, I've been a member, not me personally, but your members, and now they can't climb. They can't use that. They can't use your gym as a stress relief and all the social aspects. Now they can come back, but it's still not quite the same routine because it's not, you're having to socially distance and, you know, stay away and not be a social, and it's a very social group of people. And so the things that I work with on people is what can they do that is a routine, even if it were a new one. And a routine is really just, you know, you get up at a certain time, you go through certain things, rituals, if you want to call them that. And that brings a sense of comfort to people that brings some sort of a surety moving forward that I can wrap around, that I have some sort of routine that I do that makes me feel better. And that helps alleviate stress. So you can fill that routine in any number of ways, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through working out, whether it's through going to your favorite restaurant, whether it's through whatever it might be, walks or walking to a certain place and going to the grocery store. This has all been a massive disruption. That, because even going to the grocery store now, it's not the same experience. One of the favorite things my wife would always love to do is go shopping. Well, now even though retail is opening, it's like she's just like she can't stand the shopping experience like it because it's not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of change your outlook and expectations and not expect when you go into Stone Age Climbing Gym, it still has the same beautiful walls and you can climb and do that, but not quite in the same way, in the same experience as it was before. Things will improve. It'll get better. It'll, you know, we'll work through that, but lower your expectations a bit of what businesses are under in what they're doing, and that will help with their stress is cash flow. So go spend money, go, you know, to them and be, have grace when you do that.
Yeah, Matt, do you think people have been extending grace?
Oh boy, you know, some have extended grace, sure. But it's a challenge for all of us. We're all so wound up, at least the experience that I've seen, is we're all so wound up, and you forget to extend grace to each of us. You really do. I mean, it's such a disruption. And that's a really good point. And I remind myself as much as I do any of the listeners here about having grace in this moment of tension, really, is what I've called it.
Brian, I'm imagining some of our listeners have groups of people, you know, maybe two or three couples that might want to come in and work out at Stone Age. Is that something they can do?
Starting Monday, we'll be allowing new members to join the gym. As I mentioned before, we're not taking day visits quite yet. Okay. And we're also currently not allowed to rent out personal gear, like shoes and harnesses. So people have to have their own climbing gear, or are going to need to buy a basic set of climbing gear. We did just talk about that today with our retail manager, and we're going to basically discount beginning climber packages to, you know, our costs, so that if somebody does want to join the gym and start climbing, we can sell them an affordable package of gear. So incentivize them to be able to come in and get a membership.
Brian, off air, you mentioned that you're part of an association that has been a big help to you too and an encouragement. Tell us about them a little bit.
Yeah, so the Climbing Wall Association is our industry trade group of climbing gyms around the country, Canada, and they've been really supportive over this time. They've organized a series of Zoom conference calls twice a week initially. It's back down to once a week now, but just presenting all different kinds of topics, you know, how to get PPP loans. Most recently, there's been discussions with gyms that have opened, some of the early gyms that opened, and what was their experience, and how did the customers interact, and what were they doing to make sure that they were maintaining social distancing and sanitation protocols, and how are their employees taking this, and just all kinds of topics like that. And so it's been really helpful just to talk to other gym owners and just talk through this and just see what everybody else is experiencing and brainstorm a little bit.
Taking phone calls for information, Brian, what's the phone number for people to call?
Yeah, so our phone number is 341-2016. And you can always go to climbstoneage.com and find out information there, as well as our contact information with our phone number and email address.
Matt, your business consulting services are available.
Sure.
Tell us quickly about that and how people can get in touch with you.
So the best way to get in touch with me is email mwalsh@tabalbuquerque.com. And really, I just work with small business owners and either put them together on a board where they share their challenges, as you mentioned, or opportunities that they have and with one another. And as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Mm-hmm. And then I also work with them individually and just give them a sounding board and be able to support them in what it is that they say they want to do.
Yeah.
And that's really
well. I know your heart, Matt. So I feel silly asking this question, but you work with female and male business owners.
Of course, yes.
You work with black, white, and every other color under the sun.
Yes.
And you treat everybody the way they need to be treated.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I thought about coming here today is that our God does not look at someone's skin color or the exterior. He looks at the heart. Mm. And that is the same for all of us. And I mentioned that earlier about Brian's heart and your heart. My heart is, that's what our God looks at.
Yeah.
Is the heart.
Yeah. I'm envisioning getting all the pastors in this town to have a competition, benefit some charity as soon as we're allowed to do that at Stone Age Climbing Gym. And that'll help you raise some money, help sell some memberships, and maybe help some charitable organizations. Brian, what do you think of that idea?
I think that's awesome, Jim. it might be a little while before we're able to do that for you, but as soon as we're allowed to, we'd love to.
I just like, I'm one of those people, I used to race my kids to the car when we went grocery shopping. And of course I always lost. They would just smoke me, cause they could run a lot faster than I am. But I like the competition. I like the fellowship. Gentlemen, I appreciate you being in studio. Yeah. So much more fun to see your smiling faces.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week on ABQ Connect.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.